This is Jeff Nager with BikerNet Radio. Today we have John White. He's the head honcho for Crazy Horse Motorcycles. Crazy Horse manufactures the V-Plus engine, and it's the heart of the Ironworks Brassball Bobber giveaway bobber. And every award that Brassball Bobber has won to date has been with this engine. And we're going to go under the hood and get specific about it. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
John, this is one really cool-looking engine, and for the people out there that has not seen it yet, would you describe what it looks like?
Well, it is a round cylinder, round head, Evo-style engine with a little more horsepower and cubic inches behind it. It's 100 cubic inches, stock 100 cubic inches, and it is a retro-looking engine. And it has some other features on it, ignition covers that are square. We offer ignition covers that are square that make it look even more old school.
Well, it sure is one good-looking engine. And as I'd mentioned, it's really award-winning, specifically when it gets in the hands of Dar Holdsworth over at Brassball Bobbers.
Yeah, and this is where I'm really glad that you've called me to interview me, because I want to try to get the message out to those that have seen this engine that are alarmed about it, because the history behind the engine was that it was originally the engine that Indian, you know, Gilroy Indian, they call it, because Indian, when it started up back in 1999, started up in Gilroy, California, and this engine was developed after that company was under federal pressure to come up with a proprietary engine. And they
let's talk a little bit about how you improved on the design and what this engine is compared to what it was at Gilroy.
Well, folks need to understand that Gilroy Indian was under a tremendous amount of pressure to come up with a proprietary engine, not only from the people that were buying the motorcycles, but more pressure was coming from the federal government that mandated that they come up with a proprietary engine or stop calling themselves an Indian. And so they were under some trademark rules that require about 2 years. If you don't make a product, even Coca-Cola, if they stopped making Coca-Cola, 2 years later, their trademark would be in jeopardy. So the federal government ordered them, it basically gave them 2 years. So here they launched on a massive program to build an engine. They molded it after the Evo engine and rushed through it and introduced the engine. But that's the message that I want to get to the folks that are listening. When they started out, they started casting the cases in California and at a foundry, and that didn't go too well. In fact, a lot of the bikes that came off the dealership didn't make it to the home. When you buy the bike, you hardly make it there. About 1,000 of those engines were under that first go-around. There were three go-arounds. There was three phases of that engine. There was the what I call the Falco phase, because the castings were made from a foundry that's no longer in business that we call the Falco foundry. And then after that, they greatly improved to a casting made in Mansfield, Ohio. And those people that own these engines, they can tell the difference, because the earlier engines on the front of the engine was a very flat milled area for a nameplate. And just a little message to those folks who own those engines, if you haven't had it rebuilt already, you will, because that engine was a real, that's where all the problems were. The second phase, the Mansfield, Ohio phase, where the cases were made in Mansfield, Ohio, was much better. And then the third phase, which we call the Ramston phase, those engines were just coming off the line when Indian went under. It's too bad they did go under, because by the time this third phase came around, the engine was nearly perfected. And that's what people have to understand when they view this engine. They really have to view it in three ways. What engine was it? Is it a Falco or the early cases that were built, or is it a Mansfield, which was much better, or was it a Ramston? very few people are going to have a Ramston case unless they, you know, buy it from us now. So just to go over what was wrong, the first cases, they were terrible. The castings were cast in sand. They had all kinds of, you know, porosity, and the patterns were just bad, and the pouring of the metal was bad. And the major problem was when they poured the metal for the right case, it did not solidify around the sleeve. And just to give you a little background, when you cast that right case, the metal is poured into the mold, but prior to pouring that metal into the mold, they place a steel sleeve in there that acts as the bushing for the bearing. And that metal did not adhere around that bushing. So you could be driving along, and all of a sudden that sleeve would come loose, and there would go your engine, or your pinion shaft would break off, and all kinds of problems with that. In addition to that, there were some, the early Falco cases also had flywheels that were made in Japan, and the metallurgy on those flywheels was too soft. So when they tried to torque down the flywheel assembly, they literally could not torque it to the proper specs because it would just compress the metal. So rather than throw them all away, they came up with some goofy idea of lowering the torque specs. So, you know, that was a problem. The other major problem was that Indian Motorcycles itself, the oil tank lines in the oil tank, it's a very unusual oil tank or oil reservoir where the tubes were running inside the tank, and somebody got the CAD drawing backwards or inverted, which can happen, and so all the oil lines were reversed on coming off the assembly line. So if you purchased a 2002 or later Indian Chief, you started out with your oil lines backwards. Your return line was going to the vent line, and the vent line was going to the return line, so you were really creating an air bubble effect. And there were all kinds of problems associated with that. And I don't think Indian even figured that out before they closed the doors, that they were plumbing their tank reservoir wrong, simply because a CAD drawing got inverted.
Wow, that sounds like they had significant challenges.
Yeah, that in addition to, you know, what we've of course, by the time that we bought the whole engine program from PAS, or P-A-S, which was Power Assembly Solutions, which was in Livonia, Michigan with Roush Racing. That's where these engines were assembled, was right in the Roush Racing facility by this company, PAS, who is affiliated with Roush Racing. When we bought those engines, many of these engine problems were already solved. The sleeve problem, of course, was solved. The flywheel problems were solved. But there were still other problems. I don't know who did the math for the combustion ratio, but somebody really with very low math skills got it wrong. They thought that they had a 9.5:1 to compression ratio, but when you do the math, even out of the manual, you can see that there were well over 11:1, which is why the starters had problems and all the other related problems, head gaskets, oil leaks. They just were off on their math. The combustion chamber was 80 cc's when it should have been 90. And we've corrected all of that, and you know, we've put those engines in mule bikes and run the heck out of them, and we're very proud to say that engine is a very, very reliable engine, and that's the message that we have to get out. It's a powerful engine. It's a torquey engine. It's a very good-looking, sexy engine, and it's the only Evo-based engine that has round cylinders and round heads. I know that there are other round cylinder, round head engines out there, but there's nothing with our amount of torque and horsepower, and it drops right into that Evo platform.
When you say it drops right in, what does that mean? Is it a direct replacement?
It's a direct replacement. I mean, it can fit right in. There are some issues. You know, you have the carburetor on the left, which was a traditional Indian deal, but I think that's a plus, not a minus, because that makes us different in a world where, you know, it doesn't matter if it's an S&S or a RevTech or an Ulta Maxima or whatever, all of those engines are square. And, you know, that look is that look. But we're not about square. We're about round and retro-looking. And yeah, we have the carburetor on the left, but it will drop in. This is where I think Victory, you know, they have their problems with their engine. You know, it's not an Evo-based engine, and Evo is kind of like the PC of the engine world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can, it's not a Mac, and Victory's built a Mac. I think S&S has now discovered the same problem with their X-Wedge. It doesn't fit in an Evo platform. It's expensive. You have to get a different exhaust system and everything else. They've gotten too off the mark. We feel lucky that we have a V-twin American-made engine. And that's the thing about Americans, too. Americans, they play with their computers and like to change the hard drives and do this and that. And the Evo engine is much like that. You can, you know, play with different carburetors, different cams, different transmissions. You have a whole element of things that you can do that I think Americans like to do.
And when you're replacing your cams and whatnot, the same thing that you would be looking on an Evo engine would apply for the Crazy Horse, or is there?
Yeah, when you look at the V Plus, yes, it's a round cylinders, round heads. They call it the bottle cap because the rocker covers look like a beer cap,
mm-hmm.
but it's an Evo, and that means that S&S flywheels and pistons can fit in it, Harley flywheels and pistons. We've done some things that Indian, you know, when they copied the Evo, they were trying to not look like an Evo, so they did some weird things. They didn't drill a hole for the flywheel markings, you know, the timing marks. We've upgraded the thing so that all of those things that people are accustomed to seeing on an Evo engine, you see. The oil pump had some issues. We upgraded the oil pump and fixed that. In fact, we came up with a patented idea that we call true internal bypass. We've done a lot of neat things to that. The valve angle on the original Gilroy engines was off about 3 degrees, so your rocker didn't quite hit square on there, so if, you know, you put roller rocker arms in there, you know, you had all kinds of little issues, and there were some clearance problems. A lot of things that we've fixed on there, but the main message that I want to get to the listeners is that this engine is a production engine. I moved the whole production facility to Kent, Washington, and it's up and running, and it has been running for the last year or so, and we've been selling engines to some of the major bike builders around the world, and that's where you're seeing them. And we're also in the process of putting a motorcycle around it that was much like the Gilroy Chief motorcycle. In fact, our prototype is in testing with a company called TET, which stands for Texas Emissions Testing, which is run by Bill Rucker, the former owner of Iron Horse.
Well, you know, motorcycle guys never die. They just keep turning up in other businesses.
Yeah, and that's really a helpful thing to have Bill Rucker working on it because, you know, we sent the engine and the bike. We made it right side drive. We didn't care much for the left side drive. I don't care much for a left side drive because I don't want to call a tow truck when the belt breaks. I want to be able to change it when I'm out there in the field.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is about Bill Rucker, and I know this is not a sales pitch for Bill Rucker, but, you know, he has an emissions testing system that is flexible for me. I could have gone anywhere, financially speaking, but I picked him because he has also developed the exhaust systems for Brass Balls or Darwin motorcycles that are EPA approved. We need to have an EPA approved engine so that the buyers that are building bikes, if they run into that situation, they can buy our engine. And the good thing about our engine is we picked this thing up for relatively low cost. So until further notice, we're able to sell these engines for thousands less than you know, another any other custom engine like this. And we're working on other things. We've gone beyond the 100 cubic inches. We're working with George Smith at SNS. We're now with 116, and soon we'll have a 124 V plus. And we're doing a lot of exciting things with this engine. We also have a car manufacturer, a three-wheel car manufacturer called SciCar. They're out of Medford, Oregon, that has selected our engine for their car. In fact, they will display that car at the V-Twin show in our booth. We'll be at the V-Twin show in February in Cincinnati, and we'll be displaying our engine in all these various configurations, and the car will be there with the engine in it. And it's a neat little car for those who are looking for a three-wheeler.
John, when will these different engine sizes be available to the general public?
Well, right now the 116 is available. And we have our first customer, which is our test rider, Ed Corbett. We like to test the hell out of things first. That's another unique thing about our company. No engine goes out the door without it being fully put in a test stand and actually run. I don't want an engine to leave here and arrive to somebody and have them call me and tell me the oil leaks or some goofy thing like that. So I built a test stand, and we put the engine in the test stand, and we run it to make sure it's working properly. As far as the 116 goes, Ed Corbett, our test rider, will have the first one here in a few weeks, and then he'll run it. So the answer to your question is they could order them now, but I would hold off on the 116 until we get a little more testing behind it. Right following the 116 will be the 124, and that we're working with George Smith on right now.
Now, if a guy got a V-plus engine and had problems with it, can you talk about the support that your company provides the enthusiast?
Well, you have to remember, my main background, my main company is not Crazy Horse, but American Pile Driving Equipment. I own the largest pile driving equipment manufacturing company in the world. The nickname of it is APE, and if you've ever gone over a road or a bridge in this country, you'll see an APE pile driver working away. We provide the best service in the world, and that's how we got to be number one. I can tell these folks that are listening, if you buy an engine from me and that thing has a problem, you can count on me to be there. In fact, I have supplied my own motorcycles. I have about six or seven of these bikes, and I will supply my bike if the purchaser of the engine is down for any reason and it's riding season. I will supply my bike, and they can ride that bike until I fix the engine if there's a problem. Now, early on, through the test stage, I had to do that. I have a trike that I had to supply to a customer. I have another bike I had to supply. But lately, we haven't had to do any of those things, but those bikes are still available. And we also have an increasing list of distributors. Some of the distributors that we have made a living repairing these engines before. Black Hawk and Posey and Joe Maltha or Jam Limited. Those guys were the guys that kept this engine alive before we put it back into production, and they've become our distributors, and they're strategically located around the country. Black Hawk is in Florida, Posey's in Philadelphia, and Jam Limited is in Reno. Then we have Kiwi, that's Kiwi Indian. I'm sure you've heard of them. And,
certainly.
And we have Bear in Kansas City, and we have Grant, a former Indian dealer in Arizona. And we have even overseas, we have an Australian distributor and a distributor in Sweden. So, and we have the engines in stock. And because my financial wherewithal does not depend on the profit of the engine, I'm focusing totally on service. If somebody buys an engine from me and they're not happy with it, they have a choice. They can send it back and I'll give them their money back, or we'll make sure that it's working properly. And list of distributors on our website, and our reputation, I think, is a very, very good one. And it's up to the folks to try us out. See.
Well, you had mentioned earlier, I'd like to go back a little bit about the manufacturing, where you're doing all the manufacturing now in-house. So,
well, that in-house is not really, you know, manufacturing, even in the pile driving company, we, you know, I have our own machine shops and facilities, and we try to make everything in-house because there's a lot of benefit to that. Running 4 miles or 5 miles away from a factory to have something machined, and they'll always make an error on the drawing. But motorcycle engines are a little bit different, and I don't want to lead the impression that we're manufacturing everything in-house, because we're not. The engine cases are made in Oregon, or are machined in Oregon by a company called Dexter Machine. That company is the one that does all the work. Dan Baisley, I'm sure a lot of people know who Dan Baisley is. He's probably one of the head guys when it comes to porting and machining heads. He's the one that is our consultant on the heads that are on the power, the V Plus. In addition to that, we have, I tried many different places for the right drawings and technical data on engines, and I kind of gave up on going to the various so-called motorcycle engine experts, and I worked with, I work now with modern, with a place called, it's in Michigan, in Zewaukee, Michigan. It's called Patternworks, and that company builds the engine molds for Ford and Chrysler, and that's where we get our work done as far as drawings and things. These guys are real engine professionals, and that's where our technical drawings are made. This engine program is a very serious program to me, and I take it very serious. We have competitors. Our biggest competitor is S&S, and while we view them as a competitor, we understand that we have to, you know, have, we're, it's an evil engine. They build evil engines, and we have to work with them. But as far as the manufacturing goes, assembly is done here in Kent, Washington. We do a lot of our own machining, but there's no way that you're going to have everything done in-house on a motorcycle engine.
And how long does it take from soup to nuts as far as getting a motorcycle engine built?
Well, when you have all of the parts and pieces together, I studied that when I went to Livonia, Michigan to look at the POS assembly. And they were assembling engines, complete engines, in 30 minutes. And, you know, they really had some fancy things to do that, and they, you know, ways to lay their parts in order. But that's what they do for a living. Their specialty is assembling things. I wouldn't say it was the best program because, you know, they didn't test them and they didn't run them, and they weren't necessarily motorcycle people. But for us, it takes about, I like to say, from start to finish, 3 days for one engine. And I know that people are going to listen to that and say, well, it doesn't take 3 days to put an engine together. But we take our time. These are hand-built. And that's about how long it takes to make sure everything's right and to test it. There is testing time in there, you know, mounting the engine in the test stand, starting it up, running it, checking everything. That's about how long it takes. If you want to really be realistic and not lie to yourself, that's about how much time it's going to take to build a good engine that you know is going to go out the door and run for thousands of miles.
Well, obviously you're making a very quality Evo-style engine. When you look downstream, what's your goal with Crazy Horse Motorcycles?
Well, you know, those folks who know who I am, they know that I really wanted to buy Indian. When Indian went under, I bid on that company, and I wanted to own Indian, still want to own Indian. It's currently owned by the British, and they're doing their efforts down there in Kings Mountain, and we're all of us Indian fans, me included, want to see it succeed, but I don't know if it's going to succeed. I've I've got an order in for a bike. I've been waiting literally for years for the delivery of a bike. They say they're going to deliver a bike, and I wish them luck. However, if things do not go well for Indian, I hope to pick up the pieces. I mean, that's a big dream. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe that won't happen. If it doesn't happen, then Crazy Horse is going to have to build its name, and it's doing that. And we'll do it, and we'll ride alongside and see what happens. May the best man win.
Well, if you're going to be in a race, you need a good engine, and that's what Crazy Horse produces. John, if somebody wanted to see more about your engine, what's your website address and telephone that they could get a hold of you?
Okay, our website is www.crazyhorsemotorcycles.com. That's motorcycles with an S. The phone number is 253-872-3602. And that number again is 253-872-3602.
Well, there you have it, everything you wanted to know about Crazy Horse Engines. And if you would like a Crazy Horse Engine for free, all you need to do is go to ironworksmagazine.com, and there you can log on and enter to win not only the Crazy Horse motorcycle engine, but also the Brass Ball Bobbers giveaway bobber. John, I want to thank you for your time, and I really appreciate you going through the Crazy Horse engine for us.
I appreciate the call, and I want to put one last message in. For those Gilroy owners that purchased motorcycles from 99 to 2001 with the S&S engines in them, please be advised that we would be happy to take your old S&S engine in on trade, and you can get a brand new V-Plus for $2,500 plus your old core engine. Thanks for listening, and I appreciate you giving me a call. Thanks, Jeff.
You bet, John, and I think that's one heck of a steal of a deal, $2,500 for a brand-new engine. That's pretty cool.
Well, we'll do anything we can as long as we can. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
See you. Bye.
V-Twin Business Podcast is sponsored in part by Biker Pros, a team of consultants providing strategic planning, public relations, brand development, and marketing consulting services, each utilizing proven processes that have been refined and validated over dozens of client engagements. Find Biker Pros online at www.bikerpros.com.